peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Seems like a couple of days ago we were doing the same thing, doesn't it? New Year's Eve last year? Seems, same kind of service, 2007 to 2008. Just seems a couple of days ago. This whole year to me has just flown right by. I don't know if it has for you. Been like that for you? Well, the more I find things flying by and time flying by like that, I mentioned that to some of you who are my seniors in age. I'm 38, so a number of you are my seniors. No. But you know what you tell me, yeah, right, not all. But what you tell me is that you say things like, you think it's going fast now. Just wait a couple of years, and then you're going to really see it moving fast. The time gets going faster and faster and faster. And sometimes when we experience time as going fast, we get phrases like, hurry up, and time flies, and I'm out of time, and things like that. There's a way that we deal with time, as we're talking about time this New Year's Eve, where it seems to be going so fast and quick, it's just flying out of our hands, and we can't seem to grasp it fast enough. But then for others in this world, often those who are younger, time just never seems to go fast enough. You have children saying things like, I can't wait to grow up. And like with Naomi and others who are young, they ask for dessert. And you say, well, dinner's in 10 minutes. They go, 10 minutes, that's forever. You have to have dessert after dinner. And they can't stand waiting that long. Or maybe you've had grandchildren or children who are waiting for Christmas presents. How many days away? 10 days. Seems to them like 10 years. Time can't go fast enough. It reminds me of, if you'll forgive me, something that Seinfeld said once, is that everything for children is up and everything for adults is down. You ever realize this? You know what I'm saying? He said, children say things like, hurry up, speed up, get up in the morning. And adults say things like, slow down, calm down, sit down. So everything's up for kids, everything's down for adults. And we experience time in different ways. Some want it faster, some want it slower, some don't have the patience to wait for it, some are just anxiously hoping it would slow down, that they'd have more time. But the fact of the matter is, on this New Year's Eve, we're all living in time. We are people whom God has placed into history. And we live in time. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is to talk with you about, actually have God speak to you through me, about what time it is in history in which we're living, and then how we ought to live in it, especially as we start off a new year together with the Lord. So let's see. How would God define where you are in time so that we can understand a perspective on it and know how to live? Well, let's take a look at Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, beginning of verse 11. It says this to the Christians, besides this, you know what hour it is, how it's full time now for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And so Paul says that we are, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. And in fact, salvation, God's coming, Jesus is coming, is nearer to us now than when we first believed. In fact, it's nearer to us now than when I began this message. By several minutes, it's closer to us. And it's sort of like this alarm clock that I have here. There is a date and a time, Paul says, when he's speaking in Athens. He says there is a time fixed by the Father upon which he'll judge the world. And we don't know when that time is, but it is ticking away, ticking away. We don't know where we are in the day, but eventually at one time, it'll come. He will be here. And so the question is will he find you awake? Oftentimes when we have these things going off in the morning, it takes us by surprise. Will God's day, Jesus' day, find you asleep? Well, Paul says the night is far gone. The day is at hand. And I think if you looked at the whole of the scriptures, really is just, you could look at it this way, that the time when Adam and Eve sinned, darkness fell over the earth like evening. And then throughout the night, in the Old Testament, God put stars in the sky, that is the prophets, to be lights in the darkness, to speak about the coming of the morning star. And then the morning star rose. That's Jesus Christ. It's up there in the sky. It came. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas, right? That the morning star has arrived into the night sky to shine in the darkness of this world, being the light of heaven. And when you see the morning star, that means that it's only a little bit longer before the sun bursts over the horizon and night is gone. And so if you want to know where you are in history, God is speaking to you right now, and I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, the day is at hand. It's at hand. It's very soon. And all the prophets and the apostles speak of this. Let's run through some of those who testify that the time is short, very soon. John says in his letter, 1 John 2:18, children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. Let's just set this ahead here. It doesn't look too good at 8 o'clock. Let's just say, here's the day that we're going through. This is the universe. I mean, this is our earth history. We're getting along. Who knows how close we are to midnight, or I should have gone the other way, to morning, right? Who knows how close we are? Who knows how many seconds or minutes we are away from that? James says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Paul says, I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane and sober for your prayers. The angel in Revelation 22 says to John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil, and the still filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. And Jesus himself is speaking to you right now, testifying through Revelation 22, saying, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay every man for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And even Satan joins this angelic chorus in Revelation 12, verse 12 says, rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. This is not Satan, but the angelic voice is saying, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short, very, very short. It might not seem like that to you today. 2,000 years have passed. Time's still ticking away. I haven't seen anything happen yet. But you know what? Every one of these apostles and the angels and the Lord Jesus and the devil and the Old Testament prophets are all speaking to you volumes tonight, saying, don't go to sleep. Don't fall into the darkness. Don't let it make you woozy and go into dreamland. In fact, in my family, we just finished reading Pilgrim's Progress as a family in the morning. And at the end of it, as Christian is getting close to the celestial city, he has to pass through a forest, an enchanted forest that has an air that wafts through it that sort of makes pilgrims on their journey to fall asleep. Well, are you falling asleep? Are you in that forest tonight? And we need to engage in a discourse that'll keep us awake and be ready for that day. For Jesus says in Mark 13, but of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you know not when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Just think of the percentage and chances that he's coming soon. It's better chances than it was at the beginning of the sermon. And it may be yet another 100 years, or it may be tomorrow, or tonight, or maybe 1,000 years, although I seriously doubt that. I believe it's coming soon. But what would God then speak to you on this New Year's Eve about time, about being ready for this? Well, first, I think he'd want you to be like a mature adult. You know how time seems to go faster and faster and faster the older you get, as you're testifying and I'm experiencing? Well, we need to have this perspective that time is short. It's going fast, fast, faster. Urgently understanding that the Lord is coming soon, and therefore to behave like sons of the day, knowing there's not a whole lot of time left until daybreak when the Lord comes. And so what are people doing tonight? Those who are not here, that is. What are they planning on doing tonight? Did you see any of those things in Romans chapter 13? I'm not talking about the other part of our congregation, hopefully. No. But I'm talking about those who don't know our Lord. It says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let's then cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let's conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. You know, I played tennis before I came over here tonight. Already, I heard quarreling and jealousy, two people screaming at each other across the street, a man and a woman, man screaming out of his apartment at the lady. Already tonight, I'm sure there is drunkenness. You know, popping the vino or the champagne, probably around here, it's just beer or something like that. Nevertheless, drinking is okay, wine is okay, but drunkenness is darkness and is to be avoided by those who are sons of the day. How about debauchery and licentiousness? That means sexual promiscuity and those kinds of practices outside of marriage. Think that's going to go on tonight? Do you think there are these things of the darkness out there this evening, even in a few hours? I'm sure of it. But what we need to know is that as Christians, we're sons of the light. We're sons of the day. The dawn is about to break very, very soon. Don't know when, but it is coming soon. So we ought to behave like children of light and not of darkness. So be like a mature adult and one who is very mature and who is understanding that time is slipping away faster and faster. The Lord is coming soon. As he has promised, behold, I'm coming soon, Jesus said. Also, we got to be like children too, where we're waiting for the Christmas present, and it seems like 10 days to go is more like 10 years. Well, God says, be patient. I am delaying this day for the sake of those whom I want to save through faith in my son's gospel. And I think of this in a Habakkuk. Says this, Habakkuk is very upset that the Lord has not dealt justice to the wicked. He says, thou who art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on wrong, why dost thou look on faithless men and art silent when the wicked swallows up a man more righteous than he? You ever think that? Where is God? Why isn't he acting? Why isn't he smiting the wicked in this world? Why is there so much injustice? I'll take my stand and watch, station myself in the tower, look forth to see what he'll say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it, for still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the word to you. You got 2,000 years since Christ came. It may seem a long time. You may be thinking, I want those inheritance that God has spoken for me in Christ. How long, O Lord? How long? He says, be patient. I'm coming. It's not delaying. It's hastening to its end. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. So don't you be doubtful or wavering in your faith tonight. The Lord is coming. And so we want to live as children of the day. And as it says in Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so as we begin this 2009 year, let's begin with patience, but also urgency, looking forward to that day when there will be no more history or time, but there'll be a day called eternity. And in that land and in that country, I can just about see that country right now from afar. Can you? Can you look up there and see it? Those gates of pearl and those golden streets and new forests and fields and meadows and mountains and the Lord himself dwelling in the midst of his people. And then time will mean nothing to us then, for we'll sing this, and I will say this as the last word for tonight. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.